Come on, you have memories of a Holy Ghost showing up. You have memories of what God did to you. And you're frustrated and you're homesick and you miss that. But to another generation, this is normal to them. And they don't understand why you're not happy, because you say, oh, you should have seen what the Lord used to do. Well, they don't want to hear the stories. They want to see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They want to see what you experienced. And so they were born in this period of just wandering, going in circles. They don't remember that some of you were raised in families where your mom and your daddy, come on, were slain in the spirit, spoke in tongues. They had to take you out because you were so drunk under the Holy Ghost. They don't know that some people here, you got set free from addiction. They don't know that some people in the parking lot, come on, that God set them free. They don't know this. They were born in the season where you got offended. And you laid down your anointing and picked up your offense and have been sitting there with your harp in the willow tree, and that's all they think is normal for church. All they knew was that they were born in a generation that all you had to do was go to church. You just put your hand out and say, manna. I could live like the devil, but come in, word. I'm not looking for ministry, just enough to get me through the day. Even they didn't take care of it. Moses told them, said, don't take any more than you need. And it said that they wasted it, and it began to stink and to worm in it. They've seen a generation that doesn't even love the Word of God, that doesn't even think it's worth reading in the home. Come on, y'all. I'm talking straight tonight. And then we wonder why a generation has gone to the world for peace, why a generation is looking to the world for comfort. He said, we've got to stop. We got to pass through what everybody else is doing. And we got to change the direction of the church. Come on, we got to change the direction, because we're going to a dead end. And it's a lot harder to turn around and say, we've been going the wrong way. But we're getting farther and farther and farther away from the truth. And it's going to take a turnaround. That's what repentance is. Not to confess we have a problem, but to turn around, come on, and start going back in the direction we need to go. And that is your responsibility and my responsibility. Not to go to your house and say, are you watching the right thing? Are you reading the right thing? You have a Holy Ghost who convicts you. Come on. And you have ears to hear his voice. And you got to choose this day who you're going to serve. Come on. Because the Lord has commanded us as a church. Come on. Pass through the host. Sound the alarm. Say, Jesus is coming. It's time to tell you, prepare your victuals. We've got a generation that does not know how to seek his face. We've got a generation that's not even seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They act like it's optional. They act like it's jewelry. No, he's the power. He's the third man of the fire. He's what separates us from other denominations. He is the comforter. And how can we do anything without the anointing? He said we're supposed to be men and women full of the Holy Ghost. It's not just speaking in tongues. That's an evidence. We don't even have people seeking you. You don't have people tearing anymore. You don't have people anymore saying, oh, just pray with me. I want it so badly. Come on. You don't have people seeking it. You got too many people relying on their gifts and their talents. And it's the anointing that's to destroy the yoke. It's the anointing that's going to open the eyes and give them insight. It's the anointing that's going to heal the sick. And we we've got to teach a generation that you can't be spoon-fed the rest of your life. That the gifts of the Spirit are there, but you can't always expect a prophet to wave their hand over you and tell you, you got to know how to seek Him. You got to know how to hear His voice. You got to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to know where your help comes from. Come on. You got to know how to stand when everything else is telling you to run. You got to know your God. You got to be persuaded He is able. You got to know that people can come and people can go, and you're going to feel like your heart's breaking. But if the Lord's with me, I can make it. Come on. I may not want to make it, but I can make it. We want to come to an altar service and somebody seen me happy and somebody let me lay out. Come on. And some of the times I lay out is when nobody's looking, and I lay on my bed and I cry, Pam, and I say, God, I don't like it, but I trust You. You got to teach this generation. You got to learn how to prepare. We got a generation, it's in the world, but it started in the church, a sense of entitlement. That I can join the church and I've been called to preach, therefore I ought to inherit a church of 500. No! We don't know how to birth a church. Don't know how to find your own sermon. You preach somebody else's. We're clones. I think if I sing that song, it'll work for me. No. It's not who sang it. It's the anointing. It's that hour. That we've raised a generation of Sauls, and God's looking for some Davids. Sister Jan, I don't understand the word. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. He opens your eyes. Sometimes you may have to get a children's Bible, come on, and say, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. How can you serve somebody you don't even know? That we have misled people to think and joining the church is the same as salvation. It's not. That we can tell people don't even understand the word covenant by the way they treat marriages. Come on. So, Sister Jan, don't go there. Don't go. No, that's why we have become such easily offended people that you can't preach the meat of the word because people will choke if they even see the meat, much less try to chew it. He said, you go and tell them to prepare. Because he said, we are a generation that has mistaken provision for promise. The manna was to provide your need till you got to your promise. It was never to make you comfortable and say, well, I'm not where I used to be. But I'm content just to wander around. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to bring you out to wander. He said, I brought you out of bondage to take you into promise. No. I came to give you life and give you life more abundantly. I come to heal you and make you whole. We should never be comfortable in transition. Transitions, that word and being comfortable, they don't even go together. Are you with me? And some of you, you know, you get up in the morning, you go the same road to work or to school every day, and if they close that road, you're like, my whole day's shot, because I got to go a different way. You still get there, but no, I always go this way. It's just like because you had to go one road over, your whole day is just, Well, sometimes God shakes stuff up to make sure we're not doing it in our own might. And it becomes a rut and routine. Are you with me? Sometimes I wonder if there was really a mountain in the wilderness or if they went so long they dug a ditch. You'll get that on the way home. Maybe. Provision is just enough to get me to the place that I have more enough. Not just to lay up for treasures of myself, but now that I can bless others. It's never enough. Just give me a cup, Lord. I know some of y'all really like that song, but why would I want a cup when he said spring up a well? Come on. You know, a cup just lets me get a taste, a foretaste of glory divine, but give me the well. Give me the whole shamu. Come on. I'm not into a little pedophore. You know? I want the cake. I mean, we're settling for static electricity when we have the power of the Holy Ghost. Whoa, my hair went, whoa. They got it. Y'all do. See, if you had to ask, well, how do I know if I got the Holy Ghost? Maybe I do know. If you had to ask, you ain't got it. Trust me, you'll know. You will know. There's no mistaking about it. So he said, we got to teach this generation how to take what's given to them and prepare. You remember Naomi's over here just, oh, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. No, he didn't. She's the one that left the house of Bethlehem praising bread and went over there and got God's wash pot. And then when she heard food was back at the house, she came back, but she sounded so churchy. Lord, it's been... She's got her funeral clothes on. And she has a young daughter-in-law that came back who's hungry. She's got a generation that's there saying, hey, I wasn't raised in it, but I want what you have. I wasn't raised in it. And so she's hungry. And the danger is when you've got a generation that's not being fed in the house, you don't know whose field they're going to go into. But thank the Lord was with her. And he brought her into the Redeemer's field. Come on. And she began to glean. And she began to eat. And he saw her. And he watched over her. And she probably ran in every night. Mama Naomi, look what I... Oh, don't deal with me, girl. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And this young girl had found... Maybe not the bread, but she had the goods to make the bread. And she needed the former generation to say, you take this and you let it be crushed and broken and you put it through the fire and girl, you're going to have some bread like you ain't never tasted. We got a generation over here. The Lord brought us out of Egypt to die. Come on now. And we got a generation over here thinking manna is all that God has. We think if we get one little blessing, we got it. You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. Come on, you've not seen anything. This is just to bait you. This is just to make you hunger and thirst for more. And we're wondering why your grown kids and why your kids don't want to come for a little wafer. Come on, they want bread. Come on, they want something real. They want something tangible. Prepare your victuals. Because God said the manna's about to cease. Well, why is God going to take my manna away? I love manna. I can't deal without manna. I've had manna all my life. I have to have manna. I have to have manna. 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 Oh, manna. That sounds so Pentecostal. Manna. You know, it sounds to me like a bunch of cats being weaned. Manna more, manna. Can I tell you, God's trying to wean us. Come on. You've never been around, but apparently some of y'all have been around a farm. You've been on a farm and there's a weaning going on. Nobody's getting any sleep that night. Nobody. But when God weans us, it's not that he's punishing us. He's saying your growth is stunted. If you stay on that, you need more now. You can't stay sustained. Are you with me? I mean, look at Samuel. When Hannah brought Samuel to Eli, she didn't bring him till he was weaned. And God said, I have got to wean the church from this just enough. Just this little enough, a little dab will do you. When you serve a God of more than enough, that you serve a God that you really think just by sitting there, you can say, God can't come this far. God can shoot you back there so quickly, come on, under the Holy Ghost. Y'all just calm down. We won't never get out of here at this rate. We got to teach them that you have a sword in your hand, that his word will not return void. His word, we have to know his word, that we're not deceived, because the enemy will even come to you and twist the word. But you not only know what the word says, and not just off the magnet on your refrigerator or a Christian t-shirt. You got to know what it's written in its context, and you got to know him because he is the word. She said, pass through the host. To pass through the host, the Lord spoke something to me. He said, you can't bring anybody out if you're trying to fit in. Did you get that? To be a leader, sometimes everybody's going to get mad at you. Because about time they get their little nest made, you're going to say, the clouds move, we got to go. Oh, we just made my nest, come on. But you notice, everybody the Lord healed, he had them do something. Pick up your bed, walk. Take off your outer coat. Come on, throw it down. Lay it down. Take up your cross. Misery loves company. When you show you can come out of circumstances, it makes everybody else mad that's been blaming the circumstances. Because if you defy what they've been telling, it means they too can choose to be free. That's why all your friends want to pull you back down. Say, see, I told you it wouldn't last. Nobody wants you to succeed. But when you prove them wrong, they don't applaud you. Well, if I had the help you had. Come on, it's always something else. Pass through the host. Command the people to prepare the victuals. Because in 3 days, this provision is going to be over. God doesn't care anymore. Yeah, he cares. But why should he be giving you wafers when he's got cows full of milk and there's honey over there? Why does God have to keep spoon feeding you when you've got a feast and a buffet over there? When you're provision is drying up, it's not punishment. It's time now you got to go to somewhere you've never gone before. You're going to have to take what God's promised you. You're going to have to enter in and take it. Listen to me, Evangel. God has given you this area. When this church was formed, I don't know how many years ago, God knew that in 2019, what the living conditions in this area would be. He knew that this area He knew what the whole economy. He knew everything about it. He raised up a church in the good time so that when the bad times came, there should be meat in the house. He raised you up then. Some people are not here, but God is still here. Some people are with God, but Joshua, God is still here. Come on. And he has tried and tried, and people can leave, but God's like, I'm still here. The vision is still yes and amen. I'm still here. The vision is still yes and amen. And he said, it's time to run through this host and said, wake up. The fields are white unto harvest. It's time to tell the people, come on, that just like when the prophet said, tell Ahab to eat and drink, for there's coming a rain, and when the rain comes, he hasn't got time to eat then. He has been preparing you. The trials you've been through were to reveal to you things you needed to get rid of. He has brought you through things. He has showed himself faithful and true. He shouldn't have to be trying to sell himself anymore. And he said, now the word of the hour is possess what I have given you. God said, I'm giving you souls. I'm giving you souls for the kingdom. God said, I have kept you because I made some promises to you that you're going to see in the land of the living. Those promises that seem void of life come to pass. He said, I made my promises to you. He said, yeah, the enemy's trying to attack your body, but I made some promises to you that you're going to see that what you sowed here, your fruit remains, and your fruit's going to bear fruit. It may not have looked like it for a while, but it's due season. He's trying to tell you, come on. It's been not wasted years, but it's due season. It's time to tell everybody, come on, get up, get up, get up, shake it off, get up, get up, sound the alarm, come on. They're crying, they're crying, they're crying, going to hell. And while we're in here fussing, going to hell. I gave you the city. He said, I brought you out of bondage. I've kept you all these years. I've sustained you. And now, as the leaders, the mature, it's time you go through the host and tell the people. Prepare your victuals. The spiritual handout's over. You're supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be the blessers, not just the continual blessings. See, some people in here, they're babes in Christ. Those people, I don't mind. Come on. They should be getting manna. But for some of you that are fussing, you're not getting fed, it's because you can't live off of manna. You should be on the meat. Come on, you shouldn't have to be spoon-fed. You by now, come on, should have a relationship with the Lord. Lord, you know to come to his table. You know to come and not die. It's time we take it back. Well, it's not going to be popular. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because, can I tell you, and I believe pastor and I believe other ones, we're not going to be the popular ones. Because I'm not going to have a Starbucks religion. I'm not going to have it. Nothing wrong with Starbucks. If you can afford it, go for it. But come on. I'm not going to be a Christian entertainer. He called me to do the work of the evangelist. He's called me to be a revivalist. He's not called on me to fan you so you feel a little something for 3 days. He said these 3 days are to say, it's time, evangel. It's time. It's transition time. And if God's going to do this transition out here, then you need to do the transition in here. Last night's sermon was about stretch yourself. And I can't get over that because the Lord just revealed it yesterday. You went here about when the Shunammite woman brought the body, laid it on the bed, and Elisha had wanted a double portion. He wanted that double portion, he got it. But for the double portion means he was going to have to go farther than his mentor. And when that dead body was laying there, it was time he was going to have to do more than the person who mentored him ever did. It's easy if somebody else does it. We want somebody else to be first. You do it if it works, then I'll follow. Come on now. This was the time where he was going to have to do the stretching. He wanted his servant to do it. We're waiting for somebody else to do it. He sent his staff. He sent everything else, but there was no life. It said the one that got the double portion had to go stretch himself out over that dead body. And it didn't just happen immediately. He got up and walked to and fro. But he said, I'm not going to quit. And he stretched himself again. And he laid over and nothing happened. And what are you going to do when what God has told you to do, nothing's happening? You keep stretching. Because he learned from the previous generation, you keep looking till you see something because I know what I heard. And if we don't teach this generation to know what they heard, come on, and we just teach them that they go by what they see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we don't teach them that, they're going to fall for anything that they could see. And he said he stretched. And he stretched and he stretched until that body got warm. And you listen, you got to stretch yourself. Am I come across rambling? You can be honest if I am. God has brought us here. And he said, the last season's over. It's gone. It's over. It happened. Tag, you're it. You're it. You're it, Tracy. We got to forget those things that are behind. Shake the dust off. Shake it off. Shake it off. we're going to get knocked down. But we got the power to shake it off. Because somebody's out there. And somebody's out there tonight saying, does anybody care? Does anybody even care if I die and go to hell? Does anybody care? And I don't know about you, but I've gone through times in my life I wondered, did anybody care? Command the people. Command the people. Wake up. Wake up. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. It's time for a turnaround. It's not enough to confess. We have to repent. For to know to do right, but continue to do wrong, it is sin. Our revival will not go any higher than when we repent. Repentance sometimes is not what you've done, but for the failure for what you've not done. You don't know the Lord. I don't know what picture has been painted of you of Him. But God is on your side. And He wants you to make it more than you've ever wanted to make it. He's here with arms wide open to forgive you of all your sins, to wash you whiter than snow, to take you, to carry your burdens. Maybe you've strayed from Him. Come on, y'all. I need as little movement as possible. There's so many distractions. I know the Lord is speaking to some people. I don't have to break it back down. The Lord is dealing with some people tonight. And I'm asking you to not just be hearers only, but I'm asking you to pass through the host of complacency, to pass through the host of your comfort zone, to pass through every obstacle that tells you you can't. I'm asking you to come down here and say, Lord, I don't want to be like Moses. I don't want right here, after all you brought me from, after all you promised, to get weary and well-doing and to react and miss out on my promise. That tonight you don't, that you seek first His kingdom and know all your problems and all these other things will be taken care of. But tonight, not to bring a list, but to bring yourselves tonight. Basically, to present yourselves tonight to be a living sacrifice. I'm asking you to man up, woman enough tonight, to come down to this altar and say, I need to start preparing my house. I need to get some things in order. And I need to see a generation that says, I'm going to possess what God has called me to possess. I'm going to take what the Lord has promised me, what's mine. These altars are open right now. If you go on to that scripture, it said, they said, when all the mighty men passed back and got their brethren and brought them out of captivity, it said then and only then could they enjoy the rest that they had been given. It's time we go back. Come on, it's time we go back and get some others.